You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Happy NBA opening day. The NBA gets underway this evening. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th. You can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. All right, today I want to talk all things NBA futures over under bets for the season. I have with me Kyle Daugherty. He's been a guest in the past, most recently on the mock draft prior to the NBA draft about a month ago. He'll be with me to talk over unders. We're going to do futures on MVP winners, also picks for conference finals teams, and the overall eventual winner of the NBA finals as well. So that'll be today's show. Off the top, though, I do want to acknowledge a couple of really quick Wolves notes. Before we do that, though, as always, a quick reminder that you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, really anywhere that you prefer to get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. The biggest Wolves note off the top today, of course, is Malik Beasley did enter a guilty plea on his charge for threats of violence from back in September. The drug charges were dismissed. This is all according to initially Shams Charania of The Athletic and Stadium. And long story short, it sounds like he could have either house arrest or jail time that would be after the season, and it won't exceed 120 days, which is, what, 4 months. So likely he will not have any issues with jail time or anything like that during the season, although the league will likely suspend him. Right now, it looks like, just kind of based on the fact that he was charged with a felony, it could be at least 10 games. We don't yet know when that will come down, if it will happen at all. It seems likely, but it sounds like at least about a 10-day suspension. And then if the Wolves were to somehow make the playoffs and advance in the playoffs, then there's a chance it could spill into next year, provided that the whole thing, that the whole jail time or house arrest or whatever it ends up being happens post the Wolves season. So on Wednesday's show, of course, we'll do a preview of Timberwolves Pistons on Wednesday night, the season and home opener. I also want to talk about my individual Wolves predictions for the year, just a couple of things that I think will happen for the Timberwolves. And also talk a little bit about, yes, over under, and I covered the Wolves actually today in the conversation with Kyle that we'll play here in a second. But I also want to talk about some of the different projection models and different writers and what the season projections are for the Wolves. Basically the scope of what's their worst and best case scenario based on all these experts and analysts. So that'll be Wednesday's show. We'll have quite a bit packed into Wednesday's show leading into the game Wednesday evening. Then obviously Thursday will be Christmas Eve. That'll be the final show of the week before the Christmas holiday on Friday. And we'll talk about Wednesday night's season opener against the Detroit Pistons. So without further ado, let's get into the conversation with Kyle regarding NBA futures bets, over-unders on win totals for the season, and our predictions for the conference finals and the NBA finals. All right, as promised, today we are talking over-unders. We're talking NBA futures bets for this year with a little bit of a Timberwolves spin. On Wednesday, of course, we'll be talking all things Timberwolves season predictions. Today I have with me a guest, once again, Kyle Daugherty, who is a, I don't know that I'd call him an expert gambler. How would you describe yourself?
It depends on what my streak looks like. I am on a NFL win streak right now, so I will take the compliment as an expert, and I will say that I am an expert. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. We'll go with that. Well, we're not talking NFL today, so we'll see how this goes. I do want to start by going overs and unders for the NBA season for win totals. So the way we're going to do this is we're each going to give our best bet for an over, and then a couple of other overs that we would take and maybe considered for a best bet. And so we'll basically, assuming we don't have too much crossover, we should have 6 overs for you to take, including 2 best bets, 1 from each of us, and also 6 unders. So why don't you go ahead and kick us off, Kyle, by giving us your best bet for an over. And of course, we are using win totals from betonline.ag, our fantastic partners here at Locked On. So Kyle, what is your best bet for an over this year?
So I have the Memphis Grizzlies as my best bet. They were at 31.5 is their over under. And as one of the key things to remember, if you're betting right now this year, is that we are playing based on a 72 game season and not on an 82 game season. So that win total may seem lower. That would equate to essentially a 36 win season during an 82 game season. Kevin Pelton has them at 36 wins projected during a 72 game season. I'm in love with Ja Morant. I think he's going to carry them to north of 31.5 wins this year.
Yeah, that's a good one. I actually had them flagged as a team that I would consider as an over. I didn't end up taking them actually as any of my overs, so that's interesting. My best bet for an over is the Phoenix Suns, also in the Western Conference. Interesting that we're both going with Western Conference teams as our best bets for an over, because as we know, the West is going to be crazy. I have the Suns, their over under, their win total at betonline.ag is 39.5. I think that they are going to surprise people. Chris Paul continues to kind of defy expectations as he's still, one of the top, four or five point guards in the league, if not two or three. And I think that they're going to be able to feast enough on the bottom of the Western Conference. They're going to beat the bad teams pretty consistently. They're going to do well enough, obviously, playing the weaker conference in the East. And I think they're going to surprise some people and make a run at maybe the 5 or 6 seed in the West. And I think that'll get them over 39.5. You seem like you don't agree with that.
I don't know. I don't necessarily think they're a bad team by any means. So I don't want my disgusted face to come off the wrong way. But I think 39 is a good number. I would probably put them right in that either 39 or 40 wins. So it's not a bad bet. It just wouldn't be one of my top ones. I would hate to watch them consistently throughout the year. So that's why I wouldn't bet on them. I don't like watching Devin Booker's whiny face. So I'm out on betting on them.
That's fair. And just to, I guess, clarify my thinking a little bit, in some of my futures that I did submit at, or my over-under totals that I did submit at betonline.ag, in a competition that I'm in, I did not take the Suns as my best bet overall, because I don't really like any of the overs as best bets. I think they're all a little bit tough, and usually you can find more value in the unders as a best bet. So I felt a lot more comfortable picking unders than I did overs this year. All right, so we have our best bets for overs. You have the Memphis Grizzlies at 31.5 over best bet. I have the Suns over 39.5 wins. What's another team that you would take the over on this year?
So the other two teams that I looked at, and it was close to choosing between, are on the higher win side. I pulled them both out of the Eastern Conference. I chose the Bucks and the 76ers. The Bucks, I think, obviously they've been the best win total in the Eastern Conference the last 2 years in a row. Hasn't necessarily equated to playoff success, but I still think they're going to be the best team in the East, hands down, with a lot of bad teams at the bottom to feast on. And then I think the 76ers, obviously a complete, just a front office change of heart this offseason, with bringing Daryl Morey, bringing Doc Rivers as the head coach. I think they're going to be more professional with a lot of likely trades down the road to fill any holes they see fit. And I think I trust Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers to bring a little professionalism to the team this year.
Okay. So Bucks and Sixers, the Bucks are at 50.5. You're taking the over. Sixers at 44.5, taking the over. I don't necessarily disagree with those. For me, it feels a little risky. I've struggled in past years to find those win totals, the teams that are expected to be the top tier of the conference. A lot of time, it's so tough to exceed those expectations. But you're right, taking the best teams in a weak conference, because the Bucks and Sixers would be, probably somewhere in the fourth, fifth best teams in the West. The Bucks probably better than that. So you figure they're going to just dominate the likes of the Knicks, Cavs, Pistons, Hornets, Bulls, the bottom of the Eastern Conference, definitely. So I can see that. My other overs, I took one in the East, one in the West. My team in the East that I took was, actually, I consider this as my best bet. I took the Atlanta Hawks over 36.5. I think that they are, talked about this on a previous episode, probably one of the two or three most improved teams in the entire league this year. They've recognized they need to improve their defense. They brought in some guys, that are a little more defensively inclined. Chris Dunn, they brought in Rajon Rondo. They added Danilo Gallinari. They did well on draft night this year. That Clint Capella hasn't really, I don't think has played at all with them. And so I think the Hawks are going to be much improved. And again, do really well against the bottom, the the terrible teams in the conference, I think they're going to make the playoffs this year. And I think I've got them somewhere in that 6, 7, 8 seed in the Eastern Conference. On the West side, I have the Minnesota Timberwolves actually as my other over. And the Grizzlies were the other team I considered, but I have the Timberwolves as an over. They're at 29.5. They can be over and still not make the playoffs, certainly. And I think that that's probably maybe the most likely outcome because the West will be so good. But they're going to be in the conversation at the, 8, 9, 10, 11 in that Pelicans, Grizzlies, Warriors, Spurs type range. And I do think that there's just, I think people are forgetting how good Karl Anthony Towns is. We're in a spot where he became so maligned and the injury issues, and people have kind of forgotten about him in a sense. And people are forgetting that he's one of the best offensive players in the entire league, and pairing him with creative guards and D'Angelo Russell and Ricky Rubio, are this team's going to score a ton of points. And depending on how good they are defensively, they're going to be right around that 30 wins, but I feel pretty good about them being closer to the 500 mark, which would be all the way up at 36 wins. So I feel okay about going over on the Wolves.
Yeah, I think the Wolves are a good pick. I think we've got to remember that as teams start going through the season, there will be teams that fall off for the sake of, hey, I know that we're not going to win this year, so we're going to start tanking. And there's not a lot that are really evident in the Western Conference right now, but I think they'll start to reveal themselves. And the Wolves don't have that incentive to tank this year at all with the losing their pick likely to the Warriors next year. And so, is that incorrect? Is that next year that they lose their pick?
Yep, they do. They actually, both the first and second round picks, it's top three protected. So as long as they're not one of the worst three teams in the league, they have every incentive to win because it's only top three protected. Otherwise they lose it.
Yep. And I'll hold all opinions in regards to the Hawks for our next segment.
Okay, great. That'll be great. Okay. So before we get to unders, I do want to talk about, we've talked a lot already about betonline.ag. They are our fantastic new partners here at Locked On. So I want to give them a shout out. And also, if you're a big football fan, college football season is heading into bowl season. The NFL regular season has just 2 weeks left, with the playoff picture becoming much more clear. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we here at Locked On NBA trust. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Right now, we're talking win totals, over-unders. We're going to talk futures here in a little bit. There's still a little bit of time to get those bets in. And of course, betting on individual games throughout the season is the best place to go. The only place to go is betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. The holidays are all about giving, so I'm giving you a hot tip that could earn you some extra cash. The new Locked On Bets podcast is hosted by Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Lee is red hot to start the season. He shares a lock of the day on every single episode. Subscribe to Locked On Bets today, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk unders. We've already given our best bets and our secondary selections for overs for this year's NBA season on win totals. So Kyle, go ahead and give us your best bet for an under to take based on the win total projections or the win total lines at betonline.ag.
So I'm going to hit the LA Clippers as my best bet for under. As you mentioned earlier, the top tier teams are really hard to bet on from an over perspective. And they're the number two win total on betonline.ag at 46.5 wins. I think there's going to be a lot of players that they're going to do rest with during the season. Kawhi obviously does a lot of load management. They have far less depth this year than last year, in my opinion. And I still think there's something to the playoff collapse hangover that they'll have to adjust to as they go throughout the year. I think some of the things that they're going to miss, I think it's going to drive them to be lower than that 46.5 win total.
Interesting. I actually, so just yesterday on the show, I went through my my picks for seeding in the conferences, like how each conference will finish. And I really like the Mavs this year, and which I didn't take them obviously for any of my overs, but I still really like them. I think that they're going to be a good team. There's a little bit of a health question mark, obviously, with Kristaps Porzingis and some things like that, which is why I didn't take them on the over. But so I wanted to put the Mavs second, but I just kept coming back to, I still think the Clippers are going to figure this out. And so I have the Clippers second in the conference. So that surprises me a little. But again, I mean, taking the under for almost anybody in the West isn't crazy, just given how difficult the West is going to be. My best bet for an over, or excuse me, for an under, is going to be the, and this is dangerous. No, never mind. I'm changing my mind. I'm not going to go. So this will be one of my unders, and I'll talk about this in a second as why they're an under, but not a best bet. I'm going to go with the Detroit Pistons as the under. And it is actually a little bit dangerous to take the team that many people will think will be the worst or second worst team in the entire league and take the under, because those win totals are already usually so low. However, at betonline.ag right now, the Pistons under is set at 23.5. And there's actually two teams in the East with lower win totals, the Knicks and the Cavs. And I actually think the Knicks and Cavs will both be better than the Pistons. So this actually wasn't that difficult for me. I mean, they could surprise. A lot of it depends on how well they're young. They have just such a painful young team right now. It's basically Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin. And then you've got, you know, Killian Hayes. It's just a bunch of young guys. Jeremy Grant obviously signing the big contract there. I really like Killian Hayes, but I think his adjustment period is going to be longer. I think they'll end up trading Derrick Rose. I think Blake Griffin will, probably have a hot start like I think he did last year. And then, you know, either he gets traded, or if they're able to trade him, or he gets injured again. And I just don't see them beating anybody besides maybe the Cavs and Knicks on a regular basis. When they play the Thunder, they may beat the Thunder. But I feel pretty safe taking the under on 23.5 for the Pistons as my best bet.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I almost considered the Cavs for my one of my over bets, because theirs is 21.5, and I expect them to be competitive. I think they're gonna play a lot harder, and I just don't see a lot of upside with the Pistons. I don't think anybody really understands what they did this offseason with their stacking of centers and large power forwards. I don't have a good sense. Maybe Troy Weaver there has a better sense of what's happening or where the NBA is going than I do. But I agree with you. I don't think they're going to be very good this year at all.
Yeah, a lot of not to talk too much about the Pistons, but a lot of the moves they made, they just got a bunch of guys that play the same positions. They sent out players that were better than the players that got in. You know, Luke Kennard, some of these guys they moved off of, didn't seem to make a ton of sense. But we'll see how that shakes out. In terms of other unders that you would take, not necessarily best bets, but other unders that you would bet on, what other teams do you have?
The two other that I consider for my best bet were the Trailblazers out West. They're obviously a darling pick. They've added some defensive folks with Covington and Derrick Jones Jr. in the offseason. I think they're just part of a stacked Western Conference that I just don't think they're going to be at the top in the way that some of the other teams will be, like the Nuggets or the Jazz, even the Suns. I think they'll fall kind of a tier below them. They always have a tough time with injury. And so I'm just expecting that again this year, as they go through the year. They're at 41.5. So I expect them to be probably in the 38 to 39 range rather than being 41.5. And then my second pick was the Hawks out of the East. So they were one of your over picks. And so I'm just not convinced Trae Young, he is your number one guy, that his style of play leads to winning. And so that 36.5 leads to essentially a 500 record for them. And I would expect them still to be below 500 with some of the, you know, things that they did this offseason. I think it yields to winning in general on paper, but I don't know that I'm going to believe it till I see it.
That is interesting. I would call myself one of the leaders of the Trae Young is overrated group, the bandwagon, I guess, if you want to call it that, because I think he's, you know, he was an all-star last year. He shouldn't have been an all-star last year. He is arguably the worst defender in the league among players who receive starter minutes. But I do think the other moves that they made have just improved that roster enough. They've got a bunch of these young wings that need to show more than they have. And to me, that's actually the biggest thing, is can you get some of these guys to play defense? Can you get Kevin Huerter to play defense? DeAndre Hunter, some of these other guys. I think Capella and Trae Young together is going to be awesome. I think Gallinari is a perfect fit. Defense is the other thing. In fact, in a lot of ways, you could see them as the Wolves of the East. John Collins didn't even mention him. Do they trade him? There's some similarities between the Wolves and Hawks in terms of offense first, dynamic offensive, big man, and, you know, Collins and Young there, and Towns and Russell with the Wolves. Are the Hawks going to defend enough to be good? And I think because they're in the East, that's to me why I felt comfortable going over 36.5, but I can definitely see the under and that's a fair point. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win any games in the playoffs, because I think Trae Young in the playoffs could be a little bit of a disaster with how teams would defend them and how they would attack them too in the pick and roll, especially. But That's interesting. Yeah. I like that we have one that we completely disagreed on. My other unders, I'm going to go. So the one that I considered for a best bet, but then was scared off of it because of this team's best player, the Golden State Warriors. 38.5 is far too high for the Golden State Warriors this year. Steph Curry is the reason I didn't pick them as the best bet, because if he just goes bonkers and has a crazy season, they're going to be better than 38.5. I mean, I'm basically banking on at some point them basically mailing it in. For this under, I think if they remember last year, they were just 1-3 before Curry got hurt, and Draymond Green didn't look like himself. He's hurt now. Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins, both the idea of them, this is what I said on yesterday's show, the idea of Oubre and Wiggins is great, but can you get them to be efficient offensively? Can you get Wiggins to defend consistently? And there's not much depth. What are they going to get out of James Wiseman? The West is really tough. And unless Steph Curry goes MVP Steph Curry on everybody for the entire season, which is possible. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to quit necessarily, but if things start out rough, you know, hang on, wait till Klay Thompson comes back next year. You got two draft picks, likely the Wolves pick this year. So I think at some point, you know, if I'm betting on the Warriors, I'm certainly taking the under, because I think things could fall apart for them fairly quickly, and they might be okay to take a second year, you know, take another step back and say, all right, let's retool for next year. And then my other under that I'm going to go with is the Charlotte Hornets. I struggled a little bit with this one, but ultimately I just kept coming back to, yeah, they're going to be fun to watch in a sense because of LaMelo Ball, because of Devontae Graham and PJ Washington and some of these players that'll be fun to watch. But are they actually good? And I think the answer is no. I mean, especially if LaMelo Ball doesn't shoot the ball well, he's going to be their probably highest usage player this year. And he doesn't shoot the ball well. So even in the East, I think they're going to manage to be an under. And we talked about the Cavs. If the Cavs are a little better than expected, I think the Bulls will be a little better than expected, maybe even the Knicks. And so the Hornets could find themselves back, you know, 12th, 13th, 14th in the conference and could be under 26.5 easily. Any thoughts on my unders?
I like the Hornets as a league pass team. I think that's probably the extent of it. I agree. I think LaMelo Ball is going to be fun to watch, but he's not going to be a efficient or winning NBA player as your number one. So fun to watch, but not leading to wins. And then what was your other one again? You had
Warriors.
Yep, absolutely, yeah. Agree with that one. I think it's likely that one of those guys gets injured, whether it's Curry, Draymond. Draymond's already nagging injuries coming into the season. And when one of those guys goes down, it's the bottom's going to fall out of that team. So,
yep. Agreed. All right. So what we're going to do next, I want to talk futures on MVP. So I'd like to, based on the futures odds, who would we take as MVP? So we'll talk through some of the different odds that betonline.ag has there. And then we'll finish off by talking the final four let's do the final four overall. So the Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals, who we're going to pick just straight up to win. And then we'll also take a quick peek at those odds and see if there's any sneaky plays to win a conference or to win the finals based on the odds over at betonline.ag. Before we do that, though, we have to talk about our great friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. It tastes exactly like a candy bar. It's brand new and improved. It already tasted delicious. It's even better now. There were 12 great flavors. There's 6 brand new ones. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate and genuinely taste like a candy bar. They're soft and easy to chew. They're perfect if you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose weight or maintain weight while still indulging in a delicious treat. All Built Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. Perfect for a keto diet. Right now, for a limited time only, you can get a free cooler with your purchase, but only while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. All right, make sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast feed today. You'll find season preview episodes for every single division with team breakdowns from all of our local experts, waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions on each division from Rejecting the Screen. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk futures when it comes to MVP, winning the MVP award this season. So I'm going to pull up what betonline.ag has. This is Tuesday morning, right before the season, what they have listed for their futures for winning the MVP.
Yeah, there's a lot of great great players in this list. Obviously, I think you have to look at from a who's going to produce during the regular season. Obviously, we always talk about playoff success, and that's why LeBron is one of the greatest players of all time. LeBron James doesn't win a lot of MVPs during the regular season because he knows when he needs to show up and shine. And so that's what, some of the things you have to consider. This isn't necessarily the best player. It's the player that plays best during the regular season.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I lost my odds for a second. There we go. We have, so I'll read through the kind of the best, the top 10 or so in terms of the best odds right now to win the MVP award. So number one right now at betonline.ag is Luka Doncic at plus 275 and a fairly distant second, Giannis Antetokounmpo at plus 500. Steph Curry's at plus 900. Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant and LeBron James are all at plus 1,000. Damian Lillard at plus 1,400. James Harden plus 1,600. Kawhi Leonard plus 1,800. And Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, both at plus 2,000. Beyond that, you've got Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, Zion, Jimmy Butler, Russell Westbrook are both plus 4,000. So a few other names there that maybe could be considered good bets. In terms, you know, taking this into account, not just saying, hey, yeah, I think Giannis is the best player. What do you think is the best bet here if you're going to pick who the MVP is based on these odds?
So my pick for best bet is Kevin Durant at plus 1,000. This is his first season back. All reports coming out of Nets camp is that he looks like old Kevin Durant. Obviously, as we get into the season, that's probably why he's plus 1,000 and not probably closer to the plus 500 with Giannis. This will be the first time that he is the undisputed number one on a team since he was with the Thunder five years back when he was with Russell Westbrook. He obviously shared the mantle with Stephen Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson in Golden State. He likely shares a little bit with Kyrie, but he is the undisputed number one for that team, and I think he's going to go bonkers this year.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I think for me, the only thing really holding me back from taking him would, maybe not the only thing, but one of the primary things would be the other depth on that team, Kyrie Irving, and also playing in the East. I guess Giannis did win it last year, but that would be maybe something that would give me pause, but those odds are really good. I'm going more, even harder on the route of just taking the odds and saying like, hey, straight up, I don't know that I picked this guy to win, but I think at plus 1400, Damian Lillard is actually a really good pick to win the MVP. If Portland, so you actually had them as an under the Western Conference, but if they surprise people, and this kind of maybe goes into your line of thinking, like people are kind of forgetting about them, but they quietly had a really strong offseason. And yeah, he's got CJ McCollum in the backcourt, but Lillard consistently is one of the guys who attempts the most shots in the league for his team, even with McCollum. And it's not like the guys that they acquired are high usage players. Lillard's still going to be the guy taking the shot. So if they somehow end up with the top four seed in the West, you know, it's like Lakers, Mavs, Clippers and Nuggets, but say the Blazers can be fifth or maybe sneak into the top four and make some noise. Lillard's going to be the best player on that team. And clearly. And so I think at plus 1400, he's an interesting pick. So that's who I would take. Anybody else on this list that kind of stands out as like maybe not a bad value?
From a value perspective, I'm looking at Jokic at plus 2800. If he leads the Nuggets back to that two seed is what they finished at last year. If he does that throughout an entire season, he's so much fun to watch. He's a fan favorite. I think if he does that again and takes up another level like he did in the playoffs, improves his defense a little bit, he's not going to have the second line with Plumlee leading the defense like he had last year. I think if he takes it up another notch, I think he has a chance to be in that realm as well.
Yeah, I like that. I also like Jason Tatum at plus 2,000 because, yes, the Bucks should be the best team in the league, but God forbid, you know, something happens to Giannis or they somehow take a step back, or maybe they don't get what they thought they'd get out of Jrue Holiday and the Celtics can challenge them for the one seed in the East or something like that. I mean, there's nobody else. Like obviously the Sixers are going to be in the conversation in the Nets, but there's no clear number two team in the East. And I took the Celtics to be the number two seed. If they can surprise people and you know, get the number one seed, Tatum's going to be the best player on the team that does that. And that would give him a pretty good shot at winning the MVP. I think him at plus 2,000 is much more valuable than say Devin Booker at plus 2,000. You know, they have the same odds and Booker's playing with Chris Paul and they're not going to finish higher than fifth or sixth in the West. So that, you know, something like that doesn't make sense to me, but Tatum at plus 2,000 could be attractive as well.
Yeah. I think if Tatum takes them to the level you're talking about, which is a big if, obviously, with that division he's playing in with the 76ers and the Nets, basically Vegas saying, we have no idea what's going to happen. We're going to put them all at the same win total. But if Jason Tatum takes him to that level, it's because of Jason Tatum. It's not because of Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker. But if Devin Booker, if the Suns see a big increase in wins this year, it's because of Chris Paul. It's not because of Devin Booker, just because of past seasons. And so I think you have to take that into account as well.
Okay, let's talk about the final four teams. So we're going to talk Western Conference Finals picks, Eastern Conference Finals picks, and then we'll give our finals picks overall and who's going to win the championship. So Kyle, go ahead and give us your Eastern Conference Finals matchup, not considering odds, just straight up, who would you pick right now to be in the Eastern Conference Finals?
So my two picks, I've talked about the 76ers quite a bit during this podcast. I'm going Bucks and Sixers in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay. I like that. I have Bucks and Nets. And I considered Bucks and Celtics, and I actually picked the Celtics to finish second in the East. I have the Nets actually as my 5 seed in the East. But I think that if they can get healthy and things can kind of come together, it's all about Kevin Durant. If he's healthy and if he's the Kevin Durant that we know and love, this team is, you're not going to be able to keep them out of the conference finals, in my opinion. I think the Celtics for me would be my next pick. But the Sixers, it all kind of depends on how they gel with Doc Rivers. Do they make any big moves? So I think Bucks, Sixers, Bucks, Nets both make sense.
Yeah, I'd be most concerned about, you know, I think the key thing you always have to worry about is Kyrie Irving, about what does he do to that the team chemistry. Is he going to be sprinkling sage across the court as they lead into it? I'm not convinced that he is a part of a team that's making it to a conference finals, much less an NBA finals.
Yeah, and that's fair. And again, I had the Nets. Actually, I have the Nets finishing fifth. I think they're going to be a late bloomer type of team, and I actually had the Sixers as the 4 seed, so I can certainly see that. What about Western Conference? Who do you have in the conference finals in the West?
So I'm going to go Lakers. I think they are the best overall roster in the NBA. I think they had a great offseason with adding depth to take some pressure off of LeBron and AD to have to play every game during the regular season, which I think will lead to them being even better in the playoffs. And then I took I don't want to call it a homer pick, but maybe a little less pick than what people expect. I'm going to take the Jazz Western Conference Finals. I think their offseason, they had a really great job at creating more players that can take the pressure off their starting five than they had last year. They obviously had Bogdanovich injured during the playoffs and were one Mike Conley shot away from beating the Nuggets, who ended up in the Western Conference Finals last year. So I'm going to take the Jazz to make it to the Western Conference Finals this year.
Yeah, and for the record, I'll just say this because you cheer for the Jazz. I actually think the Jazz will be better than people think. I think everyone's just kind of down on them based on how their season ended. And Mike Conley wasn't himself last year. He's going to be better. Bogdanovich is going to be healthy. I mean, it's going to be a better team. It all kind of hinges on, can Donovan Mitchell take that next step? Can he be consistent on both ends of the floor? And can Conley be the guy who they think he can be? Then, yeah, and obviously Gobert being back. I think I have them finishing sixth in the West. And you could argue to take the over on 42.5 wins for them as well. I think they're going to be right in that neighborhood. So my Western Conference pick, I also have the Lakers, and then I have the Dallas Mavericks, who I have finishing third in the conference, but I have going to the conference finals. I think if they can find themselves healthy and gelling, they've added the 3-and-D players. They've added the really, I guess, more perimeter defenders, the Josh Richardsons. They had a good draft this year. I think that they're really, really deep. And I think that they're going to kind of come together, and also coaching. Same reason why I couldn't take like Portland under. I could never take Portland under. I can't take Dallas under. I can't take San Antonio under, because they have three of the best coaches in the league. And even though they play in the West, I think Rick Carlisle and the Mavs find a way to really accelerate the development of themselves as a team. And if Porzingis can stay healthy, if Doncic keeps improving and can at least play a little bit of defense, I think that this team will get far enough to get to the conference finals. Let's talk about championships. So I have in the West, I have Lakers, Mavs, and then in the East, I have Bucks, Nets. You had Lakers, Jazz in the West, and Bucks, Sixers in the East. Who are your finals picks?
I have Lakers going back to the finals this year, with the 76ers coming out of the East.
I'm picking Lakers Bucks, which I know is very boring, I guess. But I don't know. I struggle to see the Nets getting past the Bucks in the East. I just think the best player on the floor is still going to be Giannis. Same thing in the West, in a Lakers Mavs series. Same thing that happened this year. You know, two of the best, probably two of the best three players on the court are going to be on the Lakers in a Lakers Mavs series. So I'm going to go Lakers Bucks. I know it almost never turns out that way, but I do think that they're head and shoulders the best teams in the league. And then my champion, who I would pick between those two, is I would go with the Lakers again to go back to back. Who would you pick in a Lakers Sixers series?
I'm also picking the Lakers. But I think it'll be a closer series with Lakers Sixers than some would expect. I think from a matchup perspective, obviously nobody ever matches up with AD and LeBron, but think about Simmons guarding LeBron and Joel Embiid at least gives some physical presence to help out with AD. But like you said, I think the Lakers are head and shoulders above even the Bucks as the best team in the league this year.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot can happen between now and then, but I trust that LeBron's going to manage his body and manage his regular season so that they're in the best place to play and be the best team in during the playoffs.
Okay, let's quickly just kind of run through the odds on betonline.ag for winning each conference and then also winning the championship to see what the best bets might be there. Because, of course, in the West, the Lakers are just plus 140 to win, the favorites to win the Western Conference, and followed by the Clippers at plus 325. Nobody else is above plus 1,000. Those are the two teams that are above plus 1,000. In the East, there's five teams in that same range. You've got the Bucks at plus 260, the Nets right behind them at plus 275, the Celtics and Heat both at plus 650, and the 76ers at plus 700. In the West, that next tier after the Lakers and Clippers is the Mavs and Nuggets both at plus 1,000, the Warriors at plus 1,600, the Suns and Blazers at plus 1,800, and then it drops off. The Jazz are down at plus 2,500 in the West. So, would you be taking the Jazz at plus 2,500 to win the Western Conference then as not a terrible bet to be making?
I don't think there's a lot of value there to take another bet in the Western Conference. I wouldn't even take a bet on the Lakers at plus 140. I don't know that there's a lot of value for there right now to take that bet. So I'd leave Western Conference alone. Obviously I picked the 76ers to go to the finals. So I think at plus 700, that's a good bet to make right now. And hopefully they start performing right away during the season. So you start to get a lot more value as the season goes on.
Yeah. I like the Mavs at plus 1,000. Obviously I had them in the conference finals and I think they could, you know, beat the Lakers in a series. Certainly it would be an offensive show, and the difference is the Lakers can play a little defense. Dallas to this point can't, but at plus 1,000, I think that might be my bet if I had to take one in the West. And then in the East, I don't know, Bucks plus 260, Nets plus 275. I mean, I'd maybe look at the Celtics at plus 650, or I guess the Heat at plus 650 wouldn't be bad either. But I struggle with all those teams being lumped so closely together in the East. If it's not the Bucks or Nets, it's hard to just kind of, you just got to pick one at that point. And, you know, Raptors at plus 1,200 are way down there. We all know they've got arguably the best coach, one of the top two or three coaches in the league, in Nick Nurse. Could they surprise people again at plus 1,200? It's probably not worth it, but still an interesting thought there. Cause after that, it drops way off to the Hawks at plus 4,000 in the Eastern Conference. So, interesting. And then the last thing I want to talk about is odds to win the championship. The Lakers are clearly the favorite at plus 250. The Nets, Clippers, and Bucks are all at plus 650. And then the next group is down at plus 1,400. Celtics and Heat both at plus 1,400. The Sixers at plus 1,600. The Mavs at plus 2,000. Any bets you would make there?
I think the Lakers are, like we've talked about, we both picked them to win. 250 is good odds. I think there's a couple other ones there. I think you know, you had the Bucks going to the final, so plus 650 is pretty good value there. It's probably worth looking at the 76ers. I really think that they've got so many things that they have working for them, and Daryl Morey is just, he's a genius, and he's great at finding the fringe guys that build your team into a championship contender. And they've obviously got the two superstars in Simmons and Embiid. So what they need is those fringe guys that fit with them. And I think that they're going to find those throughout this year. And maybe it's not this year, maybe it's 2 years down the road that he's able to observe and look, but I think there's some value there for the 76ers and the Mavericks at plus 2,000. Right. So.
Yeah, I know. And that's, I know I just keep talking about the Mavs, but but that's an interesting one. I just think, I mean, I guess if I'm taking them to go to the conference finals, then plus 2000 to win the championship isn't bad odds at all. All right. Well, I mean, anything else bet wise, NBA futures, anything that you want to cover?
I think it's going to be a fun season. I think there's going to be a lot of weird stuff that happens. Obviously, as we were watching the bubble this past past season, there wasn't any of the COVID distractions that we face now with baseball and with the NFL and college football. So keep your eyes out for that. I think it's going to be interesting to see if a guy goes down with COVID now that they're not in a bubble, like what does that do? You're playing multiple games over multiple days versus once every week with the NFL. So it's a bigger impact on wins and losses. And obviously, as we see with the NBA, it's a stars league. So what if one of those stars goes down and takes their team out of contention for a week, 2 weeks, and that could be a detrimental impact to playoffs and even championships.
Yeah, it's a great point. And in some ways, it's what makes betting prior to the season and all these futures so tenuous this year, because we just don't know. I mean, and also with only 72 games, if somebody misses 2 weeks with COVID, that's a higher percentage of games than it would be in an 82 game season too. And so we have to consider that. And there's what, three teams that are going to have fans. We don't know. I mean, I don't know that that's made a big difference in the NFL, but that's something to consider if you're betting on individual games, is that there's going to be, you know, what is it? Memphis and, there's three teams, Memphis, Utah, and somebody
Orlando.
Else, Orlando, that are going to have fans to start the season. And that could change midseason. So it'll be there's so many different factors to consider, but still fun to talk about prior to the kickoff of the season.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a fun season. Got league pass ready to go. So I'm excited to get going over the next couple of days.
All right. Maybe we'll come back midseason and kind of visit where our bets are, you know, where we're at that point. So we'll definitely have you back on, Kyle. Thanks once again for joining us.
Thanks, Ben.
All right. There you have it. The over under picks NBA features for this year from myself, Kyle Darty. Tomorrow, as mentioned on the show, I'm going to do a Wolves Pistons preview as well as some final Wolves predictions before the regular season gets underway. And my take on some of the other takes about the Wolves final win total, ESPN, John Hollinger over at The Athletic, and of course of Hollinger and Duncan, the podcast here on the Locked On NBA Network 538 website, a bunch of different projection models, where they land on the Timberwolves this year and what my thoughts are on those projections. That's all we have for today here on the show. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Of course, your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you like to get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, a reminder that today's episode was brought to you by 1010 and BlueNile.com. 1010 is the exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. You can preview it exclusively there, BlueNile.com. That's all we have for you today. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast. We'll catch you next time.